Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Gospel of John will serve as this morning's text. We pray. Thank you, Father, that you have chosen to reveal Jesus' high priestly prayer to the disciples and to us through John's Gospel. Equip us to bring glory to you and to Jesus as we become living witnesses of your redeeming love. In Jesus' name, amen. Most of us at one time or another have cheered desperately for a team, whether the team was professional, college, or high school, whether it was baseball, football, soccer, or basketball. We can probably name one team that we lost our heads over. I can remember cheering for the Portland Trail Blazers back in the 70s, when Blazer Mania was in vogue, when they won the national championship. Yes, they did win one. Back when the players had some class and the fans respected them. I also remember following OSU basketball when A.C. Green was their star forward, and later Gary Payton when he was their star guard. While Sherry and I were in St. Louis, we followed the Cardinals. Oh, they didn't have too much of a team that year, but they had Mark McGwire, and he was hitting a lot of home runs. I think he had a little help. In the way of some enhancing drugs, maybe. But now we are Seattle Mariner fans, and they're doing okay. And Beaver baseball fans, and they just fixed the Cardinals from down in California. So we'll see how that goes today, see if they can sweep them. Anyway, when we think back to that team, we may be able to recall a strange relationship that developed when our team was successful. We received some of the glory. We might say, "Wow, Jim, your team is awesome. Way to go. Jim, I can't believe your team is doing so well. Maybe this year your team will go all the way." We receive glory for the success of the team as though we were out on the field or on the court playing the game ourselves. We are receiving glory for something that we have nothing to do with. Glory we certainly do not deserve. Yet that undeserved glory that we receive is returned to the team. We cheer for them. We pay money to go to their games. We buy merchandise, caps, t-shirts, foam fingers that tell everybody that, hey, we're number one, to spread the glory of our team. We can't wait to glorify the team by telling someone about our team's most recent victory. Our God has been very successful. He has created a beautiful world in which we live. He sustains and provides for his world every day. And he's given us a beautiful Mother's Day. He sent his Son into our world of sin to live, to suffer, to die, and then to rise again for the forgiveness of sins and the promise of everlasting life. Our God is certainly a winner. The disciples certainly were winners also. Oh, it didn't look that way at first. One of the saddest things to do in life is to leave people whom you love. All of us have had that experience in our lives. It's hard to cease to be in a daily presence of those we have come to count on for so much. Such was the case for the disciples. We can Skype, or we can use the phone, or we can look at pictures to get a piece of the way things used to be, or perhaps are currently. Jesus left his disciples to return to the right hand of God the Father. The disciples felt as though they had been left all alone. They thought they had lost the one they had come to count on for so much. But Jesus, in a real way, never left them. He sent the Counselor to be with them and to lead them into all truth. Jesus himself promised that he would continue to be with them even to the end of the age. The disciples would not just have a piece of the way things used to be. By the power of God, things would be the way they used to be. They would be winners. Through the blessings of our gracious God, we are winners also. We are allowed to share in his glory. In baptism, God glorified us by making us his very own children through the water and the word. We share in the glory of God when we confess our sins before the throne of God and find forgiveness there as well. We share in the glory of God when we read his word and remember his promises of love and deliverance. We share in the glory of God when we partake of the Lord's Supper, his very body and blood, given and shed for us for the forgiveness of all our sins. God has allowed us through faith to share in his glory. We in no way have earned or deserved that glory, but God loves us so much that he gives it to us anyway. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Take time daily to bask in the undeserved glory of God. Since God has allowed us to share in his glory, we want to return that glory back to God. Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John that he will no longer be in the world, but that we are still in the world. Remember that Jesus already had assured us that we have another counselor besides him by our side, the promised Holy Spirit. Now he prays that the Father will also protect his own in the world, that all being assured, we are left in the world to do what? We are to give glory back to God. And how do we do that? We give glory back to God as Jesus did. Philippians 2:8 tells us, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." And Matthew 28:20, "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." We give glory to God by receiving his word. We give glory to God by receiving his body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. We give glory to God by telling others about our risen Savior Jesus Christ. We give glory to God by serving our neighbor. The Bible tells us that Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. We are what people see of Jesus in our world today. We are a reflection of his glory. Someone once said that there are five gospels, the four gospels in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And gospel number 5 is you. To those outside the church, you may be the only gospel they ever read. What kind of a gospel does your life portray? It is our responsibility to be the light of the glory of Jesus Christ in our world. People see how we treat others, especially those closest to us. People notice how we respond when someone has done us harm. People notice how we respond to crises in our lives. In all that we do and say, we want to reflect the glory of our Savior Jesus Christ. However, we reflect the glory of our Lord best when we don't try to reflect perfection, which, of course, for us is impossible. We reflect the glory of our Lord best when we reflect forgiveness. We joyfully and thankfully receive the forgiveness of God and then, without hesitation, pass it on to those around us. When we leave this world, God will fully glorify us with Him forever in heaven. There we will finally see and fully partake of the glory of the Father, not as a reward, but as a promise. Eternal inheritance for all believers. Until that day, we pray that God would use us to glorify His name in this world in all that we say and do. In the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.